Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yappa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks Podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clown heads.
Huh? Yeah, nigga, 3 6 shit, nigga. Like, man, feel, nigga.
Break down, shake and bake, rising, pop, lock and drop. Shade of dope, the extra grounds, I'ma take my son shopping. Talking this RPG shit, I know the Jake's around the corner. Set my buddy on surveillance through the hood like every corner. Catch me coming off that back street, probably ducking pad readers behind 10. But you see 8 bands of jury on this white beater. Blunt runs, I'm in and out the stores just like a quick nut. If I'm dirty, the crackers busted you, I bet my whip got get up. I ain't ducking, I hide. But I calculate my moves, so my bike PSI. It's like a Rottweiler talking Cujo. Big dog shit, a raw. Me die, the taste of blood. Don't get your stupid ass ain't mistaken. Who you thought I was? I'm merciful, buddy. Cause I'm a nigga when I tell you no, no mercy for the system. Government officials acting like some hoes. No mercy for bitches. Cause y'all hold you lacking self respect. No mercy for fuck niggas. Baller blocking on the nigga shit.
I'm untamed. A field nigga in this purest form. I'm untamed. I eat the pain. Do you got some more? I'm untamed. I sight myself on some dolo shit. As long as I'm breathing air, you never break me on that soldier shit. I'm untamed. A field nigga in this purest form. I eat the pain, so you got some more. I'm untamed. I sight myself on the dolo shit. As long as I'm breathing air, you never break me on that soldier shit.
Do the dash and get the money, life is full of trickery. Cook a nigga ass and glaze him up with some hickory. Middle of the gunfight, let it rip, you hear the symphony. Selling dummy pills, I bust some niggas up in Tennessee. Cooking crack off on the grill, I need me some more charcoal. I used to serve my dad and watch him smoke it off aluminum foil. Last home invasion went all wrong, cause I walked out with nothing. Now I'm scoping out Corvettes and business trying to steal me some. Cuban stripping, shot my Hyundai up, you know my Santa Fe. Paid him with some counterfeit and test them, fuck them yesterday. Robbing on the third side of Deltona, yeah, I know Slim. And Puerto Rican poppy got them yams, I even took his Tim. Trap, 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 I'm out here robbing, fuck that bullshit. Girl is scared to hang with me, her brother hate to hit the lick. A red and black Corvette with a 3 pound of that green loud shit. RBG to hit a lick, wait, sit your po ass down, bitch.
I'm untamed, a field nigga in this purest form. I'm untamed, I eat the pain, so you got some more. I'm untamed, I sight myself on some dolo shit. As long as I'm breathing air, you never break me on that soldier shit. Now I'm untamed, a field nigga in this purest. I eat the pain, so you got some more. I'm untamed. I sight myself on the dolo shit. As long as I'm breathing air, you never break me on that soldier shit. Never.
now at episode 367 of the most livest and hippest and dopest, most direct show on the web, Off the Cuff Radio. I'm your host, King Eric the Great, a.k.a. Rick Capo, and you're now tuned in to a special Super Bowl Sunday show. I got my host in the building, T-Max with the facts.
What it do, STS, OTC, up in the building, you know who we be, King Eric and myself. Shout out to our co-host in spirit, a lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla for Illa. Shout out to Jesse's Boutique, Core Financial, Dirty Basement Radio, and Buddy Boy Entertainment. We are here, we are live, and King, once again on another Super Bowl Sunday, we have a super show as well, man. Tell our audience about who we got tonight.
Yeah, man, I want to break it down for y'all, man. Tonight's guest is a special one, because I'm going to be real with y'all. When I heard this brother's music, I caught goosebumps, my nigga. I had that 90s energy, that flow. I'm talking about the flow, the content. I'm going to tell you this, man. The music was so dope, it made me literally almost get out of bed, my nigga. That's how real that dope that Junior's was, man. It was like 5 in the morning. I'm just scrolling online, just scrolling. I heard this dude music. I'm like, yo. We got to get this dude, man, because his mixtape album, RBG, is what the streets need right now. And he's here right now to drop some of that ism, man. So without further ado, Florida, stand up. And I know he's going to stand up double because Brady about to bring him another ring. Let's all stand up for Third Side Slim.
What it do?
Man, what's going on, man? I appreciate y'all having me.
Well, we appreciate you having you on, man. Shout out to you and shout out to all of Florida, man. 850-305-954, all over, man. I mean, yo, I mean, good to have you on.
I appreciate that, man. It's been a journey.
Yes,
definitely,
man.
So
to start this thing off, man, before we start this thing off, man, we might as well seal it up, man. Anybody that owe me money, I better see y'all tomorrow, because Brady about to get that ring. Letting it be known right now, the Cash App is King Eric, $KingEric82. Y'all send me my money tomorrow.
Yeah, Brady about to close it out. Yeah, man. So look, you're not the only, look, Brady not the only one putting on for the Sunshine State, being the champion of, you know, playing the game, man. Look, Slim, great to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, and how you started off in the game and from here to now.
I'm an 80s baby, late 80s baby and everything like that, man. I'm from Central Florida, like the Daytona Beach area. I've been rapping myself probably about 15 years or whatever. I've been taking it serious about, you know, 3 years or something like that. I'm just a big fan of music and things like that. So, you know, music has always been, you know, a part of my life. So,
definitely. And, you know, and you said you're from Central Florida. You know, we got to shout out to Central Florida, you know, the Black Knights. You know, of course, shout out to where Dante Culpepper went. You know, I believe Shaq Barrett went there as well. You know, the Barrett brothers. Yeah, man. I mean, look, and in terms of the hip hop tradition, you know, you got so many, of course, 2 Live Crew, Trick Daddy, Rick Ross, Trina, you know, Tay Dizm, you know, so many, man. You said you've been doing it like 15 years. Who were some of your early influences that really inspired you to pick up the pen and really get it in on a pad and paper?
My two most major influences that I'll say, it has to be Pop and like Soulja Slim and everything like that. Mm. But you know, Trick Daddy, Nas, man, the list goes on and on. Even like LL Cool J, stuff like that. You know, like I said, I'm from an era, you could say a generation or whatever, where I know what real hip hop is, what real rap is,
right,
and everything like that. So like, it's like it was just everybody's flavor and everything. Cause you know, once upon a time it was, you know, the South sounded like the South, the North sounded like the North, the West Coast sounded like the West Coast. You know, Midwest had their own style and everything like that. So it was just like anybody who was respecting their culture, man. You know, that's how it was. Anybody who was respecting their culture and and you know, the stories that they were telling and everything, and the message that they was giving off, if it was something that you know I was fucking with, then hell yeah, I was on it.
And you know what really drew me to your music, man, is the fact that you showing that the South have more to say. Because when people look at the South, they pigeonhole the South as mostly just dance music. But from listening to a lot of your stuff, it's like you providing that balance that's needed. It shows that, yeah, the South has content. The South has heart.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, and everything. And like I say, you could... with some of the people who I named and everything, I mean, I guess it makes you understand a little bit better on how it is that I rap, the way that I rap and everything like that. So it's like, you know, like when I say I listen to Nas and stuff like that, that's why, you know, I have an intellectual approach when it comes to, you know, music and everything. If I need to get intellectual, I'm going to get intellectual and everything like that. But it's like, regardless of what kind of music I make, my main point is to give off a message or something to make you think. Like, you need to think about what it is that I'm saying and everything. It's just not some... I try to make timeless music, bro. You feel what I'm saying? I'm not trying to, you know, put out one-hit wonders and shit like that and do all that. You know, I'm trying to make timeless music. Something like 5-10 years from now, you listen to it, be like, boy, that motherfucker was talking some shit on that bitch. You feel what I'm saying? So that's the kind of music I'm trying to make.
Definitely, man. And what you're saying about in terms of what King was talking about, how, you know, how Florida was kind of pigeonholed, you know, and not necessarily in a bad way in terms of some of the, yeah, I mean, you know, especially Florida. I mean, you know, like King said, you know, Florida was kind of known for being the booty music, you know, the shout out to DJ Magic Mike, you know, Luke, you know, the 808 Bass, Clay D and all of them.
Yeah.
You know, DJ Jam Pony, everybody. You know, and for the contributions you all have made to hip hop is, you know, countless. It's infinite. It's essential, you know. But some people tend to think because it wasn't the most lyrically complex that it wasn't worth a mention. But we're like, no, y'all brought just as much. In the 90s, Slim, when you're talking about what goes into how the, you know, there was a bit of that resurgence, of course, with, you know, Slip and Slide, you know, Trick Daddy and all of them, and Florida was really, really beginning to get back out there again. You know, of course, later in the years, you know, Rick Ross, Plies, all of them would come into the picture. You know, DJ Khaled would really, like, move his whole operation down there and really come with We the Best. What was the hip hop scene in Florida like for you growing up and just watching it and just seeing it develop over time?
I mean, you know, it's been its ups and downs and everything like that. You know, it's a certain culture down here and everything like that. I can't lie. In the most recent years, I'd say Florida done got kind of wild and everything like that. I don't know what to blame it on. I don't know if it's the music. I don't know if it's the internet. I don't know if it's like the media itself and everything like that. But, you know, it was fun. It was, you know, anybody else would go through and everything. You know, you grew up fist fighting, slap boxing, you know, stuff like that and everything. You know, it was a regular kind of childhood and everything like that. We had our ups and we had our downs and everything like that. So, I mean...
Now, when you speak,
I really
now when
know.
You speak on the right,
yeah, from the way you can look at it, from the way you can look at it too, it can also be a term of motivation because you look at a lot of peer groups for the most part coming up, they putting out the same style of music. It's only a matter of time before somebody, you know, like putting out the same content as you, they can DMX the game and bring that shift back.
Yeah, most definitely, and everything like that. I feel like right now, you know, to go with the grain, like people need to start going with the grain on this one right here. It's time to go against the grain with this music thing because I mean, like between us and everything, it's like I can't stand the route that music has taken and everything. I don't see how people can sit up and waste their time and drop bullshit and put it out. People gravitate towards it. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm just being real. You know, a lot of times I'll be listening and I'll be like, man, shut the fuck up, man. I don't want to hear that shit. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, but it is what it is or whatever. People have their preference of music and everything like that. It's like, I don't know. It's sad kind of and everything. Because I know, like I said, and I'm sure y'all know as well, like where music was to how it came from. You know, the way it is right now and everything. Like, how do you have artists like DMX and, you know, Big Pun and, you know, Slick Rick and, you know, stuff like that. And then you sit up and you look at some of the artists now and you're like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, it's I don't know. It's crazy, man.
I think what happened is they found that being simpler makes easier money. Because I'm going to be real. When I first heard, like, Rakim, Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, I'm like, I can't rap. I can't be like these dudes, man. That's out of my league. It's like, these dudes are ahead of the game. I'm just going to sit back and be a journalist and be a fan. I can't rap. But see, now, with labels, they focus more on, you know, catchier sounds and melodies, and that dumps down lyricism. So they figure, hey, we just follow that to make money.
Yeah, because it's a lot of things or whatever. Even then, though, but look, even if a person was like, they can't rap like Slick Rick or they can't rap like this one right here, it still motivated you to try. You still tried and everything. You had a certain bar that was set. They done sat up and they done dumbed it down and they done, you know, in a way they took out the whole purpose of talent, like, you know, talent and everything like that. And they made it strictly about money. And I really don't like that because, you know, hip hop and rap came from the streets, man. It's like you didn't enable, like, you know, making it about money. You enabled overprivileged Johnny, whose mother and father who got plenty of money, for him to just, you know, I got some money, so I got a chance to get in that rap or whatever. But Johnny can't rap. What the fuck? You feel what I'm saying? So it's like I don't know, man. It's crazy, man. It's crazy and everything, like,
Definitely, Slim. And one thing about it, especially with what we do, we try to do with this show is we always, because me and King, we've had hundreds of guests, had many conversations on and off the air about the state of hip hop today. Why it's different from what we all grew up listening to, you know, and this also, but what the blessing is, this is a show that we enjoy doing because especially gives us an opportunity to give limelight to artists such as yourself who really keep that aesthetic, that spirit, that authentic, you know, sensibility of what the culture is. How do you feel in terms of how the social media has kind of given artists a false sense of celebrity and security in terms of where sometimes antics are more than authentic talent?
I feel like, man, not just social media, the internet itself and everything. The internet done fucked the game up. And I'm just going to break it down on how it fucked the game up. You feel what I'm saying?
It made it
too easy for people now and everything like that. Answers are right at their hand. People don't have to retain shit like how we had to retain shit coming up. So, you know, I didn't get a cell phone. I was about 16 years old, maybe 17 years old, and that was the old, like, Nokia with the snake on it and everything like that. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like these kids now come out the womb with a cell phone or some kind of technology or a tablet or something like that. When they came out with the internet, man, they forced people not to retain any kind of knowledge and everything like that. You feel what I'm saying? Because they don't have to. They can just go type in what it is that they're looking for and it pops right up. And everything like that.
Right.
So I feel like internet has damaged the world. I'm just gonna say the world and everything like that. As far as social media and everything, man, there's this one post that I see every so often and everything. Like, the internet gave people respect that they would have never earned in the streets. These niggas can promote their music, but they're not gonna go off in the trend. You know, back in the day when you selling tapes out the car and, you know, you doing stuff like that, and I never really had to participate in that area, in that era. You know, as far as, you know, passing music out, like, out of the trunk of the car, but I have, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, I've gone different places,
right?
I've ordered CDs and gone up through certain areas, certain sections that I know for a fact that these motherfuckers online, they wouldn't go up through there because it's like, man, hell no, I'm not finna approach them goddamn 20 niggas standing on the corner. Or hell no, I'm not finna pull up to this house with these 20 people standing on the corner and it look like they're gonna shoot the shit out of me. If I go up there trying to, me, I don't care, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I'm finna go up there, I'm finna pass my music out, I'm finna do what I got to do. The internet has made it easy for a lot of people and everything. It took a lot of principles and morals and values out of a lot of things. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, if I could, I would do away with it, personally. You feel what I'm saying? And leave the internet for, certain businesses, certain kind of, transactions and stuff like that, and less more of entertainment. But, it is what it is or whatever. We already passed that point, so.
Yeah, I think what happened, man,
yeah.
I think with the internet, it created a comfort zone for punks because.
Yeah.
We came up in an era where the disrespect was, man, you had to see that man. You had to see that woman,
yeah.
Face to face, or you had to see his entourage. But these niggas, they say some wild stuff. I mean, I'm talking about disrespecting dead relatives, grandmoms, and kids. But they feel they can't be touched because they on the internet.
Yep, that's how it is. That's how it is. And they'll go their best. They'll go out their way to avoid the person that, you know that they talking about and everything like that. And like you said, it gave a lot of people confidence in everything. This motherfucker on the other side of the world gonna sit up and talk shit to you because, 9 times out of 10, he'll never see you and stuff like that. But for the people who are listening, understand it's a very, very, very small world. It's a small world. You're running into people when you least expect it. So just be careful with the energy that you put out and that you send out into the universe. So that's all
and
I
that's
got
real.
To say about that.
And that's real, Slim, because when you're dealing with the situation of where we are now, like Andy Warhol once said, everybody's going to have their 15 minutes of fame. The problem is you got motherfuckers who are out there trying to get it right now and don't understand what fame really entails in terms of being famous and infamous. While the internet is great for information, it's not the absolute source in terms of everything being reputable. And when you're dealing with a branding, a representation, an image, an energy, as you say, that you put out there, that becomes a hallmark of your... of who you are. And when you constantly are out there, and we've talked to artists about this all the time, the music, who you are as a person should be paramount in terms of what you're trying to represent for pushing your career forward. We have seen countless stories of artists, not named Biggie and Tupac, who got themselves in some trouble or even killed because they got out there on some stuff trying to talk tough and didn't understand it. At the end of the day, this is still the real world you live in. And as you said, the world is very small. We look at what happened with that little issue with a little JoJo and Chief Keef. JoJo was wolfing hot at Chief on Twitter, like, 4 hours after he sent out a disrespectful tweet, he ended up dead. FBG Duck, rest in peace. That last video he did calling out his enemies, and his rivals, in terms of, disrespecting the dead and alive, and then he ends up getting killed, a week later. There's only so much that an individual will take out there. We grew up in a time where the street was really about that action. If you really, really was out there, and your reputation was made off of your activities in the street if you really got active with it. Everybody's trying to expedite their reputation through an inauthentic process. But they don't
Most
understand
definitely.
That inauthentic but that inauthentic process does not by any means validate you as being authentic. And if you keep playing out there, a lot of people don't understand. You keep knocking on that door of drama, you're going to have a closet full of tragedy fall out on you.
I'm telling you, man, people, and I'm not cutting y'all, people need to understand, too, the old saying, what goes up must come down.
Must come down.
So
yeah.
when it comes to fame and stuff like that, like people be you know and it's and another saying too, you know, anything that's worthwhile doesn't come easy. So for people to think that they finna just jump and be famous and all these people like they're going about it the wrong way and everything like that, because you know, just as fast as you got that fame, if you got that fame doing bullshit is gonna take you out. You'll have that fame and be gone, just you know just that quick and everything. There's different processes, there's different ways to go about things or whatever and everything. Just like if you know of a certain, let's say a mall in your area, there's plenty of destinations. I mean plenty of routes that you can take to get to this destination and everything like that. There might be the shortcut,
right,
but the shortcut might have nails. It might have a motherfucker that'll shoot your car when you pass by that bitch and all kind of other shit or whatever. But do you really want to take that way? Because you might not even make it to your destination. You feel
right.
What I'm saying? So it's like, you know, man, I don't know, that fame shit or what they call it now, clout. They call it clout now and all that other shit and everything like that. You feel what I'm saying? That shit is getting a lot of people fucked up out here, man. You feel what I'm saying? Like you want to rap that gangster shit and you're not on that shit and people know you're not on that shit, they're going to want to test that shit. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like you can't be playing around with stuff like that or whatever. That all goes to, you know, stay in your lane and everything. It's okay, man, if you're an intellectual rapper. It's okay if, like, look how Will Smith did it. And I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest and everything. Will Smith had, you know, Summertime and stuff like that back in the day and everything. Will Smith was, you know what I'm saying, rapping about killing people and doing all kind of other shit. You feel what I'm saying? And he was still successful with it when he, you know, while he was doing it. You just gotta have your plan A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z if you can and everything like that, man. Stop using music, and you know what I'm saying? Stop seeing music as the pinnacle. You feel what I'm saying? Straight up, use music as a stepping stone. So it's like, I don't know if I'm breaking down,
No, we get what you're saying. And when you think about it, Slim, when that era of like Will Smith and all of them, hip hop had so much variety at the time. You know, it was just fun. You had your hardcore if you want to listen to hardcore. You had your fun rap if you want to listen to your fun rap. You just had your lyrical rap if you wanted to listen to lyrical rap. Nowadays there's so much emphasis. Go ahead.
No. You just had different flavors and everything. It's like, you feel what I'm saying? It's like you could go, like I say, man, it's different flavors, different culture and everything. It's like now you go to the same place, you just eating Burger King over and over, man, straight up. You go to the North,
right,
man, it's Burger King. You go to the West, it's Burger King. You feel what I'm saying? You go to the South, it's Burger King. Everything, you know what I'm saying? Eventually, man, you're going to be like, what the fuck, man? I'm tired of Burger King, man.
There's Whataburger, there's McDonald's, there's Fatburger, there's Rally's, there's Hardee's, you know, Wendy's. You know, In and Out, you know, all these different spots, you know, and it's, and yeah, you're right, it's variety. And you know, there's always a route you have to take. Now, listening to your opening track, you know, King had playing, the intricacies of your lyricism is incredible in terms of layers. It's very, you know, it's very structured, you know, I mean, what was it like really sitting down when you first started and ultimately getting to that place where you really found the style that works for you, in terms of how long did it take to really, like, get it the way you wanted it?
When I first started rapping, it was at a local trap, man. It was a trap off of a street around my way called Beale Street. It was the trap and everything. I was kind of, you know, self-conscious and everything, but the boys off in there was like, fuck it, man, you know, do your thing or whatever and everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, do your thing. They had a little ragged-ass booth. It was raggedy than a motherfucker, man. That bitch was raggedy as hell, man, straight up. But I told myself before I started rapping and everything like that, like, I'm going to keep it real no matter what. I'm not going to sit up. And especially coming out in front of the boys, you know, in the trap and everything, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't in a position to sit up and talk about no shit that I wasn't doing. I couldn't talk about cars that I didn't have and stuff like that. You know, so I told myself from the beginning, I'm gonna keep it real with myself. I'm gonna keep it real with my raps and everything like that. I can't make everybody like me, but somebody gonna feel me. And it was just like, you know, I just been keeping it real ever since or whatever and everything. So it's like, you know, everybody has their influences and everything. There might be times or whatever, man, you might hear my shit like, damn, boy, that motherfucker got that pop flow. But damn, boy, you feel what I'm saying? That motherfucker got that, you know, that Soulja Slim flow and everything. That's who I get compared to a lot. And I appreciate the comparison, but those are some big shoes to fill. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to walk in the next man's shadow. I got my own style and everything like that, but you know, it's just, I don't know how to describe it or whatever. I just told myself in the beginning that I'm gonna keep it all the way G with myself and with my music and everything like that, because I'm not gonna sit up and put on the front and then have to live up to this image and everything like that. You feel what I'm saying? Because that's how people drive themselves crazy. That's how people drive themselves crazy and everything. When you put on this image and people perceive that as being the real you, but that's not the real you. You know, when you actually acting like the real you, they gonna think something's wrong. They gonna think something's off and everything because they used to this image that you done put up and everything like that. So I was like, man, I'm not gonna drive myself crazy for nobody. So that's just, you know, that's just how it is or whatever and everything. And speaking on the RBG album, that's my most overlooked album to date and everything. Mm. Believe it or not. I actually went and bought, you know, it's a lot of knowledge that I already had. But I actually went and bought revolutionary books to read, to put into that album and everything, because I know motherfuckers ain't finna sit down and pick up the books, man. I know they ain't. Especially in this time, people's attention span, like I say, it's the internet days and everything. Their attention span is like slim to none. So I took the time to read books and put certain knowledge into that album. So like, all right, if y'all not gonna read it, then I'm gonna give it to you in a musical form. But,
and
you know,
I was going to ask, who were some of those inspirations in terms of the books that you read, in terms of what really set the template?
I picked up books like, you know, Blood in My Eye by General George Jackson. That's somebody that I feel like everybody should look into. George Jackson. You know, I've read the autobiography of Malcolm X a few times. You know, just certain books on, you know, being a black man and just trying to free your mind in the state of, you know, of everything that's going on in the, you know, in the U.S. and stuff like that. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, I went to an actual, you know, like a historically black library and picked out some books.
Definitely. And how important is, in terms of that educational knowledge for black people to really understand in terms of picking up a book? You know, I know it's kind of like a redundant question, but how important is it for us to really get into pages and read and become intimate with that literature to really, really, really digest, and to really understand what is being written about our history, about society, about the world at large?
I feel like it's very important, because it's like, you know the saying and everything, man. If you want to hire something, like believe it or not, you know, like these are sayings that I'm not just making up. Like if you want to hide knowledge from black people, man, you just put it in the book, because people don't want to pick up a book and they want, you know what I'm saying, and they don't want to read it. But it's crazy as hell, because there were slaves and ancestors who were killed just for trying to read, just for trying to, you know how to write, for knowing how to spell and everything like that. And you know, so much time has passed, I don't even know if people know the story about Frederick Douglass, how Frederick Douglass had to learn how to read and learn how to spell and learn how to write. You feel what I'm saying? He had to trick the white boys into teaching them how to learn how to read and how to write. So it's just like, man, our people fought for a lot of shit that people take granted for nowadays. So it's like, and it's crazy because I really sit back and think some days, if the ancestors knew, if they had a time machine and you know the ancestors back then could come to the future and see where we at right now, would they have even fought for this shit? Or you know what I'm saying? Or would they be like, man, I'm not doing shit for these dumbass niggas?
You know, and that's real, man, because when we look at the state of black people, you know, today, and I wouldn't trade being black for nothing in the universe, but when you look at everything that we have dealt with, you know, in terms of slavery to Jim Crow to being lynched, murdered, I mean, you know, discriminated against, looked at as the pariah of the world, you know, and we were the ones really where the world civilization started, you know, in Africa. You know, I mean, we, you know, our history, our tradition is so rich. And yet and still, people, I don't want to get on a soapbox, you know, but when people really do not understand the impact of slavery in terms of psychologically from a genetic pass down, because yes, you just like anything, trauma is passed down and from our ancestors, you know, and it's been passed down to us through the things we've endured over those 400 years of enslavement, imprisonment. When you look at the black family being broken up, these are things that were set in motion that are not the be-all and all answers of the black plight in society today, Slim and King, but it gives a understanding as to why we have the issues in terms of why we have issues sticking together, you know, why we have issues staying committed to things, you know, why we at times act out of emotion without academics, you know, and it's a real deal, because when you really don't fully understand and comprehend the infliction of injuries on the generations that came before you, you really have no understanding of how it affects you today. Like they said, if you don't know your history, you're going to repeat it, because those things are always in place. Those things are always in place. It's just you have to recognize what is in place so you don't repeat those steps that put you in that place again.
Most definitely, you know? And see, I'm just gonna put this out and everything like that. Like I put out in the music and everything. Segregation mm-hmm. ended 1954, man. In 1954, we in what 2021 now? That's like what
right.
60 plus years ago. I classified
civil rights bill
was
passed in 1964.
Yeah, you like you feel what I'm saying? That's still classified as slavery. To me, you feel what I'm saying? Slavery
right.
is still
right.
fresh and everything like that.
Right.
And I'm gonna
exactly.
tell you right now what is blatant Willie Lynch syndrome. Blatant, it's still
mm-hmm.
going on to this day. Right now, you can see it right there on social media when they talk about light skinned nigga this and dark skinned nigga that. That is Willie Lynch right there. Right there in your face, blade. But it's gonna fly over a lot of people's heads and everything. Talking about light skinned niggas do this.
The division. The division in the Willie Lynch letter make them not like each other. The division.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That is blatant Willie Lynch, you know, syndrome right there and everything. And it's crazy that shit is still carrying on, still recycling to this day. But. And, you know, all white people not bad. I'm not saying that at all. Because just because it's black don't mean it's all good. And just because it's white or any other race doesn't mean it's all bad and everything. Because you got some fucked up niggas, too. And everything
oh,
like
yeah.
that. But it's like, that shit is still making us, like we can't stand together, man. And that shit is aggravating as hell. And I know it's aggravating to the other ones that want us to stand together and everything. Because while they sitting up talking about light-skinned nigga this, dark-skinned nigga that. Some people, it don't matter, man, you still a nigga. It don't matter, you know, what shade you are. And it's like, huh, man, I don't know, man. This shit be, man, that shit is aggravating, man.
It's deep. Because when you're looking at the situation, you got to remember, too, Selena King, also the Civil Rights Housing Act was enacted in 1948. Which ended segregation housing, meaning that, you know, black people could live where they wanted. So what you have is you have a situation where the blacks that could get out of the hood, they got out of the hood, but the ones that had to stay
So you have this perpetuation and even resentment of violence and discord because you're having these bad situations in the hood that never stop. The black people that could get out of it got out of it. But the ones that stayed, they were still in it. And it still is there because you still have an issue now with niggas having issues about, you got niggas that are mad because you got someone that's educated and they not. And they're like, they're ready to look at you crazy, like, oh, you being white. Well, I'm like, excuse me, motherfucker, with my educated ass. The last time I checked, academics was not race, you know, specific. You know, knowledge is race neutral.
Yeah, whitewashed
for everybody. Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly, King. You know, but we are, as a people, and that is a source of frustration for myself, because it's like, we are the only people, not all of us, but we are the people that at times that tend to embrace the negativity, denounce positivity, and then will even celebrate in drama. You know, that's a whole different story in terms of relationships between black men and black women and how they come up and how some of them come up, and then how it's like, even with stability, it's like that's not good. It's like they want to be in a situation where there's a whole bunch of bullshit going on, because why? For some, that's what they grew up in, and that's what they understand.
Yep, and it's sad and everything. You got niggas representing and a kill you about streets and neighborhoods that they don't even own. You don't even own this street. You know what I'm saying? You don't even own this neighborhood, but you're gonna kill somebody else who you know who might be like, oh, fuck that street. Fuck that neighborhood or whatever and everything, man. You know it's crazy and everything, man, because people fail to realize that ghettos and slums and everything, it's all an experiment, man. You feel what I'm saying? It's an experiment and everything like that. You put as many people as you can in one area with limited resources, and you go.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. And when you're talking about limited resources, you know, especially with how people have already kind of, when you're already considered, you know, a second-class citizen, you watch the fur fly because it becomes an element of survival. And one thing about it is that the savageness, you know, because America, people got to understand from American history, this country was founded on rebel mentality when we were trying to get out from under the crown of England, you know, so... When people wonder why people are the way they are in this country in terms of having a ruthless behavior, in terms of Americans, it's like that's how we found it. We just did what we did because we were like, we ain't having it. We're just going to do it. You know, but that works on good ends. That works on bad ends. Because on one hand of it, you know, the American way is about being resourceful and being aggressive. But also, too, it can be cutthroat and immoral in terms of how you go about getting it.
Most definitely.
When you look at the industry from you being in it, Salam, what have you found in terms of your pathway? Have you ever been approached by a major label? Did you ever look at trying to get on with a major? Did anybody come to you with some questionable, for lack of a better term, fuckery about how you were supposed to get on in terms of like you had to do this, that, and the other to get a bigger audience or what have you? What's your experience been like going through it?
I done had a few people tap in. Or whatever and everything like that. And you know, I done got a couple contracts and everything, but I'm not I'm not one of the niggas that jumped the gun, and I'm not stupid by a long shot and everything like that. So, you know, they might tell you, prime example. I had one contract that told me they would give me $175,000 sign-on bonus. They gave me $175,000 sign-on bonus. But when you look later on in the contract, it says we have the I believe the word was irrevocably. It was like the term was for 3 years, but they have the option, the irrevocable option of extending the term for 3 years, three times. So that's basically like you almost trying to tie me into a contract for almost 12 years and everything like that. And you only talking about giving me $175,000 for, you know, you, You know what I'm saying? For the, like they'll fuck you if you know if you let them and everything. And I can't say if I was younger, if they would have caught me at 17, 16, the only thing I would have saw was the $175,000, just like any other 16, 17-year-old would have just saw the $175,000 and everything like that. Anybody would have signed it. If they don't have anybody right. around them that's going to tell them, you know, don't do that. But me being older and understanding how things go, I saw it and I was like, man, fuck these people, man. I'm not fucking with them, man, straight up. You know what I'm saying? And I understand with the industry and everything, it's a certain agenda that they're going by. There's certain things that they want to promote. And, with what I stand for, I understand that the chances of me asking for a record label to actually come like, yeah, bro, we want to sign you, man. You feel what I'm saying? You either trying to fuck me or you on some bullshit. So I don't even waste my time with, you know, trying to get a record deal and everything like that. What I've been trying to do is get me a distribution deal. I have my own, so I can compete with the industry, you know, because it's just like the streets. Good dope's gonna sell itself. Good dope is gonna sell itself and everything like that. So it's like I'm trying to get me a distribution deal so I can compete with the motherfuckers in the industry, because my raw form of music is gonna blow that bubblegum shit out the way once I get it on, you know, on a broader scale, on a broader platform. And that's what I've been trying to do. I got my own record label. I made my 8-year-old son the co-owner of my record label legally and everything like that. You know, I got my music and stuff tied up into my record label and stuff, just in case something happens to me. That's all him already. You know, I didn't have a business when I was 8 years old and everything like that. And you know, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, how my mother raised me or anything like that. But, you know, I just try to do stuff that, you know, that I never had for me or whatever and everything. I try to give them a sense of pride about itself, a sense of business about itself and everything. So, you know, when his mail comes, it might be some bullshit-ass mail, but if it got his name on it, I'll be like, here, daddy, you got some mail. You got some mail, bro. You feel what I'm saying? For the business and everything like that. And he'll look at it and everything like that. You know, I just try to, you know, make him feel important about himself. Like, he got stuff he got to do. So it's just like, man, I just been focusing on the distribution deals and everything like that. A lot of these artists, man, I try, it's been times where an artist has told me, you know, a certain price for a feature and everything like that, and I go to Pam and shit, and now these motherfuckers trying to fuck me out my money, trying to play, acting like they don't want to do the track. I intimidate a lot of people and everything like that, man, straight up, because it's like, they can't stand in the paint with me. And I'm just going to keep it all the way honest with you and everything like that. They can't stand in the paint with me and everything. And it's like chess. Before they sit up and let me make a fool of them on the track and they lose some of their fans because their fans are going to migrate this way after they hear me, they just won't fuck with me. You feel what I'm saying? Straight up. So that's how it is or whatever and everything. Boy, people be holding on to their little fans like it's their last little bit of money. They ain't trying to let them go. So I just got to take the longer route with it or whatever and everything. But I feel like we pushing up on the goal, though. That's what I can say. I feel like we getting closer to it and everything like that. So that's how, you know, that's how it is or whatever. But the industry is not what people think it is. It's nothing like how I thought it was. And everything. Once you start dibbling and dabbling in it, and you start spending money and you start seeing how people operate, it's going to be a lot of people that you thought highly of that when you actually get a dealer with it, you're like, oh, man, this man is a fuck nigga, bro. This man is a green-ass nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Like, man, I don't want to do no business with this man. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
When you're doing the RBG album, was that like an adjustable shift that your fans had to take note of? Because usually when people make an artistic switch to the content from street material to more politicized material, a lot of artists get scared of taking that risk because they know they're afraid they're going to lose that base. But how has your base been responding to that project?
There were some people that absolutely loved it, but like I said, it was the most overlooked album to date that I've done and everything. But it's crazy because that's the most intellectual album that I put out. That's the most intellectual album that I put out. And really, I did it for myself. It was a couple of reasons why I did RBG. Because of the state that black people were in, I felt like it was time, like, man, shit, for the ones who are paying attention, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to make this album. I did it for me, too, because I wanted to prove to myself that I could do that, that I could do an album like that. And I also did it, too, for, you know, when it comes time for me to step to the majors, it's not like I'm one thing. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like I'm a variety of things and everything like that. Like, man, there's no part that I can't tap into. Like, I could tap into it if I want to. If I want to make street music, I can make street music. If I want to make sad music, I make sad music. If I want to make trap music, I make trap music. If I want to make intellectual music, I can make intellectual music. It just, you know, it just solidifies my position and everything like that. Like when I step to these people about, you know, getting me a distribution deal or, you know, something like that, it's almost like basically saying, man, don't fuck with me, man. Don't fucking play with me. So it's like, you know, that's basically, you know what the whole purpose of RBG, the RBG album was and everything like that. And it's almost like I caught so many censors and red flags that I couldn't even promote that album like that on the internet, especially how the internet is set up and operates and everything. There was a lot of shit that I wanted to go promote on that album that they just would not let me promote it. But if I put on one of my street songs and went to go promote it, or they'll promote that fast as hell. But it was a lot of shit that I talked about in that RBG album that the internet, Facebook, Instagram was not willing to promote. So I just had to just let it ride and let it do its thing or whatever and everything like that. And on top of that, I had to wait for people's minds to mature to fully understand what it is that I'm talking about on that album. So that's, you know, that was the downsides of RBG and everything like that. But for the ones who actually, man, I had people who were, and this right here was my greatest honor of RBG. I had people in their 50s. I'm only 30 years old. I had people in their 50s telling me, like, you were talking some shit on that album. I just want to let you know that. Like, I commend you for that album and everything like that. It was surprised the hell out of me because I wouldn't be thinking somebody in their 50s would even be listening to my music. So, you know, just to get respect from the OGs and stuff like that, that was a great honor.
And when I heard that album, yep, man, I heard of, like, not only Soulja Slim influences, but also it reminded me of Dead Prez's energy as well.
Most definitely. And see, that's an honor. That's an honor itself.
Definitely. Now, what have you found in the context of, you know, just, you know, because of the marketing? Because, like you said, you know, this, you know, we always discuss the direction of hip hop today in terms of what is considered like being marketable, you know, and what's real, and then what's safe in terms of just going to sell. You know, and obviously, you know, you have not compromised your vision at all. Is it just, what do you think, where do you think in terms of the power brokers who make the decisions about the music that's getting put out, what do you feel is going on with the climate in reference to the culture today, and from fashion to music to overall presentation and image?
I really feel like the people who control what kind of music and everything, you know what kind of music comes out. I'm just going to keep it all the way G, and I'm going to keep it all the way blood. I feel like they're trying to destroy the image of the black man, and I'm just keeping it all the way honest with you and everything like that, because there's no reason why some people should be promoted, and you know, the messages that they represent, the things that they stand for, what they're portraying and everything like that, that is not black people in its entire whole and everything like that. So them people know exactly what they're doing and everything. They either getting somebody who's talking about some bullshit, Or they going to get these younger kids who don't know a damn thing, and they putting them on. And what's crazy is you got the people in their 30s going into their 40s looking up to the goddamn 16-year-olds when you should be telling this man, you feel what I'm saying, like, what you stand for and what you represent is bullshit, homie. It's bullshit.
Right.
Right.
But see, a lot of that falls in too and everything, man, with these younger kids and everything. These kids got such a reprobate mind that you can't give them constructive criticism without them feeling like you sizing them, like you trying them, like you trying, you know, like you little boy in them. I'm not little boy in you, dog. I'm trying to guide you the right way and everything before you run yourself off into destruction. But then it gets to a point and everything where I'm not going to sit up and argue with your young ass because I done been there before and everything. If you want to take your ass up the road and go to prison, go ahead. If you want to take your ass up the road and get killed, go ahead. Do what you want to do. I tried to help you. God can't fault me for knowing and not trying to teach you. He only going to fault you because I tried to teach you. I tried to help you and everything like that, man. Like, it's jacked up. You can't tell these jits nothing. You can't tell them nothing because they think they know it all. And that's why when you turn around and you look, that's why a lot of them are dying so young because they think they know it all and they don't want to listen. They're hard-headed.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it with, you know, with terms of where the image of black people, you know, I don't know if y'all heard about this. Shout out to DJ Sincere, you know, of Dirty Basement Radio up in New York, a good friend of ours, great guy. Me and Sincere were talking earlier today, and this kind of falls in line with what you were saying, Slim, because this is the situation that he talked about Lil B. And apparently Lil B started an OnlyFans. So Sincere told me about a situation that apparently Lil B was sucking on a dildo in one of his only on a video.
That's sad, man. Straight up, I'm telling you, man. They demasculize. You feel what I'm saying? The black man. That's what they doing and everything, man. Straight up. And it's sad that people don't see that. And it's aggravating. All that skinny jeans, wearing pants and shit. That's dressing like bitches, painting your nails, doing all kind of other shit, man. Straight up, man. We do not do that, man. We don't do that. I don't understand what's going on. Like,
hey, T-Max, hold on. What did he say again? What'd you say again? What did he do?
Did he was sucking on a dildo.
Who will be?
Tell you, man, it's the internet. It's the internet.
Man, hold
you
on.
Talking about
Damn.
Because I was talking to Sophia, and I was like, you want to know what he did? I'm like, I'm not ready. He's like, I know. He's like, you're not ready. But then he told me. I was like, and I was, again, we were just having a discussion because we were just talking about a lot of rappers from that, you know, from that time. Because, you know, Lil B, you know, had his buzz back in the day, but B really hasn't done anything lately. You know, same thing, you know, like, with, you know, along the lines with Young Thug, Lil Yachty. You know, none of them really, really are having that buzz like they once did. You know, and when he said OnlyFans, now we got to be fair to OnlyFans because everybody has this thought of the OnlyFans being X-rated, and it's not necessarily X-rated if you don't want it to be. You could get an OnlyFans page, and it's just a way for basically you to just interact with your people, which is no different than IG. Or Twitter or Facebook. It's just you're allowed to do more. But you do have some people that will get out there and do some things strange for some change. And look out. And, you know, with B, I would have never thought B would have gone that route. Damn sure don't want a curse put on me from him or any of y'all. But I'm like, look, we saw what happened to James Harden in the playoffs a couple years ago. We were like, okay, this something. Like, there might be something real to this.
That's why I'm not gonna really bark at him, man, because I don't want that curse, man. We might go from 44,000 subscribers to probably about 2,000 subscribers in a week. I ain't messing with y'all.
But that's just to illustrate a point, like, you know. But, you know, I would hate to think that B's doing something like that to get attention. You know,
that fame is a hell of a drug, man. People start having the withdrawals and they start doing a little bit of anything just to stay relevant and everything like that. And like, if it's to that point, man, just let it go, man. Just let it go. You done had your sign. You done got your little money. Just go on about your business, man. Stay up where you sell yourself short, man.
I'll see you. Ever has been fun.
Hey.
Yeah.
Pop was like the next. Pop was like the new cocaine of this for this generation.
Telly, it's sad, man. And like, man, I don't know. May God be with him. That's all I can say.
Now, going on to one of your songs, one of my favorite songs that you did, and providing that balance was Black Queen, man, because you see, we got a lot of women empowerment movements going on. You got the WAP movement going on. You got a lot of people saying that women are being depicted the wrong way. But that song there, it gave me the Tupac-like vibes, where, you know, when he was praising the women of his life, like to keep your head up and stuff like that. Was that an inspiration?
Oh yeah, most definitely, most definitely. You know, and it's just like I don't like to see black men sell themselves short. I don't like to see black women sell themselves short and everything like that. And black women have to understand and everything that your body is not the only way that you can get on. There's plenty of different ways and everything like that. And when you look around, you see black women twerking and shaking ass and doing all this other shit or whatever and everything like that. And it's like your body is not the only thing. You got a whole functioning brain up there. So it's just all about you know carrying yourself with respect, and also too knowing your position. You know what I'm saying? Like you're a queen. The man is the king and everything like that. You have to understand your role in a relationship. You know when it comes to marriage and all kind of other things like that. Like I always thought about this. Like a woman, if you got a woman in your life, she's not meant to be ahead of you, because if she's ahead of you, that means that she's an obstacle in your way. She's not meant to be behind you, because at that point she's dead weight. You got to turn around and you got to keep stopping on your mission and everything to make sure that she's straight. She's supposed to be by your side, stepping with you in unison.
Right,
you
supposed to be equal. Straight up. It's supposed to be equal.
Exactly. And you know, that's how it is or whatever and everything. And you got these, you know, women and everything, like I understand is, you know, but a lot of that comes to the upbringing too, what they see. So it's like, man, it's a lot of jacked up stuff, man, that, you know that you know has ripple effects to it.
Well, it's a controversial issue, Slim, because when you're dealing with the plight of black women in this country, especially when we look at how a lot of us come up in the inner city, you know, without a father, you know, for some, you know, it's a very difficult deal to navigate, and especially for black women, because this is one thing I've always advocated for black women to not do. Number one, do not get into the situation with niggas where you want to fight a man. I'm like, there is never a time where a man should hit a woman, and there is never a time that a woman should hit a man, period. You know,
exactly.
You hit a nigga, he gonna fight you like one. But this is an issue in terms of where the upbringing is, where you see some of these women grow up and they see their mothers fighting men, and they think that's normal. And I'm like, no, that's not. Or they see the mother having to hold her down by herself. So some black women get a very ultimate independent spirit of they don't need no man. I don't want to be, you know, trying to start no shit on the show, but it's just an observation. It's just a statement in terms of what we see. Black women at times, some, not all, seem to be the only ones that say they don't need no man. I don't never hear no other woman talk like that from any other race. I never hear white women, Asian, Hispanic. I never hear no other woman say that they don't need no man.
Everybody needs companionship, man, straight up, man. God ain't put us on this earth to be alone and everything like that, man. And that's how it is or whatever and everything. But I understand exactly what you're saying and everything, man. After you watch your mother do it by herself for so long, or like you say, you watch your mother sit up and fight people and do all kind of other stuff and everything, that is, it's damaging. It's damaging to the brain,
right,
and everything,
right,
like that. You know, as to what's going on and everything like that. But I mean, it's like both black males and black women, man, we need a lot of work. We need a lot of work. And I say we. I'm not pointing no fingers or anything like that, because it's us as a whole. We need
right.
a lot of work.
Right.
Yeah, and one thing about it is, I think, you know, but we have so much to offer in terms of, you know, the genius, especially being Black History Month, celebrating, you know, shout out to Carter G. Woodson, you know, of course, you know, I mean, Fannie Lou Hamer, you know, Malcolm X, you know, Medgar Evers, you know, Madam C.J. Walker, James Baldwin, Conte Cullen, you know, so many, you know, Toussaint Louverture, you know, so many figures who black history is American history, is world history. And for us as a people, we have to understand the contributions that we have made in abundance that make us more than what some people would try to marginalize us as. We are not the definition of what our opponents would try to define us as, you know, and we need to understand that, you know, and, you know, that does not mean to at times, you know, have a misconstrued or even corrupted image of what being black is. You know, some people think it's just supposed to be about thugging and keeping it real. I'm like, no, it's keeping it responsible and right. You know, it's G to raise your family. It's G to be responsible. It's G to have good credit. It's G to live.
We are kings and queens. We are kings and queens. Point blank. Period.
Yes.
That's how it is. We are descendants of royalty. And people,
yes, we are.
Acting like,
yes, we are.
We are. We are kings,
yep,
and queens. We are descendants of royalty, and you need to take,
yes,
pride. You need to take pride in that. People come from us.
Yes. You know, our lineage is regal. It is distinguished. It is rich. You know, it is everything that has to do with, you know, all the elements of, you know, distinction. You know, so we just have to understand that. And I think once we really get a grip on it and really understand where we, what our history is, how deep it is, how meaningful it is, we can begin to move forward. Now, in terms of you, as you've gone with your career, Slim, has there been who is some of the most notable artists that you worked with, and are there any others that you want to work with as you continue with your career?
I work with a lot of raw talent from on my way and everything. Not necessarily known, they working their way up and everything, but shout out to everybody who I done worked with. You know, as far as local wise, I don't work with you know, Young Breed from MMG, you know, Rick Ross label and everything. Shout out to Breed. I don't work with Doughboys Scooch from Doughboys Cash Out up there in Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a feature right now coming with Doughboy Raw from Atlanta. He used to go by Young Capone back in the day and everything, but Doughboy Raw, he was signed with T.I.'s Hustle Gang and everything like that. So he don't work. He don't work with people like Jeezy, Gucci Mane, stuff like that and everything. So I got a feature coming with him. I don't work with Platt Fields. I don't know if you heard of Platt Fields, but he's a real big internet sensation and everything like that. So it's been a few people who I don't work with and everything like that. So. And last but not least, too, man, shout out my dog 5150 Sosa, man. Straight up, man. Bruh passed October 20th and everything like that. You feel what I'm saying? But that was raw talent and everything like that. And he was gonna blow. He was definitely gonna blow.
Well, and like I said, our condolences to your loss on that. Yeah, man. I mean, but definitely, you know, for you to be able to work with so many people is a blessing in itself. You know, is there any major artists that you would reach out, that you want to reach out to in terms of really, like, you know, in terms of who you want to work with down the line?
I can't really name any off the back right now and everything, because I like to do my research on the person and everything. Like, if I hear their music and I like their music, I'd be like, okay, man, he's talking about a little something. And then I tap into him, and then, you know, I like to look at interviews, because I like to see where a nigga's head, you know what I'm saying, where his head is at and everything like that, you know. And you know, from there, I'll decide if I'm willing to spend my money with him. Because, you know, artists and everything, man, this, you know, you know, this music shit ain't cheap. This shit, if you're doing it the right way, this music shit costs
right.
a lot of money and everything. So it's like,
right.
you got artists and everything asking for, you know, for them to feature on your album or feature on your song and everything. That's $1,000 and up. So it's not no play type, you know, before I just give a nigga my money and everything like that, I just got to make sure he's worthy of it. that I'm wasting my time. That I'm giving them my money and everything, because if that's the case, I could turn around and spend that money on my son or my family or on myself and everything with my music. So
right. And
you know what I like what y'all bring to the table is we talk about the importance of inheritance, because I don't really think that topic is really addressed heavy in not only hip hop culture, but I think mainly hip hop culture in a way, because nobody really talks about inheritance. They talk boss talk, but they don't really push the inheritance talk. It's like Damon Dash was doing, and that's interesting dialogue.
Most definitely, man.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's something people really have to understand, like you said, Slim and King, in terms of the music. You know, this is something that you cannot be for play, because a lot of people want to put in a minimum amount of effort and get the maximum results, and it's asymmetrical, it's unequal, it's unrealistic to think that's how it's going to work. And, you know, you really have to, this is the one thing, if there's nothing else artists need to understand, you know, number one, this is a process. Number two, it's going to take work. Number three, if somebody doesn't like your shit, it doesn't mean that they're hating. Music is subjective, and it cannot be quantified by one person's opinion. You know, hating is when someone... Yeah. And hating is when someone deliberately tries to sabotage you. No one is sabotaging you because they have an opinion. Because we're all different. We all like different things. You know, somebody may like, you know, some people may like mustard on their hot dog, and some may like ketchup on their hot dog. You know, it just depends. And number four, you know, you have to keep pushing no matter what, if that's what you're going to do. Because it won't be. Which goes back to number one, it's a process.
Most definitely. And I'll be the first to say it. It's been, man, this journey, like me taking music serious and everything, there's been so many times I wanted to quit. I tell you that flat out, just like any artist will tell you, there'd be a lot of times where I'd be like, you know what, fuck this shit, man. I'm tired of putting, you know, like music that I know is fire-ass music, and it goes overlooked, and then you hear the most bullshit music getting praised. But mm-hmm. like you said, it's a pop. And everything, and I done already crossed that threshold where I done put too much money into this shit. So, and you know, the way that, you know, as long as my discography is and the music that I done put out, I earn mine a different way, if you catch my drift and everything like that. So for me to sit up and just throw in the towel, it's almost like everything that I did, put my life on the line, put my freedom at risk and everything like that, it's like I just pissed all that away just by quitting and everything. Nah, I can't do it. I already crossed the threshold, you know, the point of no return. So I'm all in with it till I see something fall through from it. So that's how it is or whatever and everything like that, because I didn't put my life or my freedom on the line for no reason.
And one thing about it, Slim, is having you on the show is a testament to why we're glad you didn't quit. You know, we are so humbled. We're so privileged to have had you on the show, man. Much love to you and yours. You keep working with it. You know, you're welcome back on the show anytime. You know, thank you for being on with us.
Definitely. You know what?
I appreciate y'all having me. You know, and that's the God honest truth. I'm the one who's honored. I appreciate y'all having me, for real.
Definitely.
Even though they putting blocks on pushing that music, man, that's why I want to reach out to you for the platform. Cause I'm like, man, ain't none of these labels, none of these platforms, they ain't pushing this, man. So we gonna reach out. You know what I mean?
No, I respect that. I respect that 1,000, bro. Straight up.
Definitely, man.
And that's what
so
we
like
do
I
it
said,
off the
Cuff
Radio,
know.
Man. We got a rep for the underground. We got a rep for the come up. You know The rebels with a paw. That's what we represent.
Definitely.
But yeah, man. We about to wrap this thing up, man. You have any other shout outs you want to give out?
Shout out to God. Shout out to God and shout out to my family. You know, you know my wife and my son and everything like that. You like I do it all for them. And I appreciate God's mercy and everything like that, because he could have been took me a long time ago, but I'm still here for a reason. So shout out to God for his mercy.
Definitely, man, definitely. Look, stay prayed up, positive, and keep pushing the perseverance, man. And, you know, keep going, man, keep going.
Most definitely, man. And likewise to y'all, too, man. Y'all keep pushing, man. Y'all keep growing y'all platform and everything. And any way that I can help, you already know I'm there.
Appreciate you so much, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, love, man. Y'all boys be safe.
What's up, man?
On that note, we up out of here, man. Deuces to you, brother.
Yep.
All right.